from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary, and my swamp-based beings, it's time for a podcaster who's a bit odd, but he's here to, you know, take your mind off stuff and put you to sleep, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. I guess that's all I could say, new listeners. You got that? Well, now I'm going off topic and tempting to the podcast that overdoes everything, and still the over the top podcast that's made to underwhelm. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, everybody, before we get to the, before we move on here, I just want to let you know, Sleep With Me is here because I care. Like, I want to create a safe place where you could fall asleep and where I believe you're important and your mental health is important. So there's going to be links to organizations. You know, if you're having a tough time right now, in the short term, there's organizations that I'm a link to that can help. There's a sponsor that can connect you with a therapist if you're looking for longer term support. And then part of saying that Black Lives Matter is supporting Black mental health. So there's going to be links to organizations that you can support or that you can utilize if you need them, because you're important, okay? Yeah, that's why I'm here. To help you fall asleep is just one part of it. All right, and here's a couple ways I'm able to bring this show free twice a week. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And I want to thank some of the people who supported it. Native Deodorant, Lindsay, Nilla Wafer, Joe, Christy, all supported Native Deodorant, you know, tested it out. And then I want to thank Lindsay and Gregory, who supported Relief Band. And you might have heard recently me talking about using Relief Band. It really, really works. Like, I had a long, long drive. So, holy mackerel. And I was sweating because I put on the Relief Band. So I had Native and Relief Band going at the same time. Thank you, everybody, for supporting the sponsors. If you support a sponsor, let them know that the partnership with Sleep With Me is valuable. Let me know about it. You can tag us both in a social media post, and I can try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. That's part one of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Part two is you getting the support you need. If you're having a tough time right now, there's links to resources in the show notes that you could reach out to right now. We have a great sponsor if you're looking for a longer-term relationship, but Sleep With Me is here to encourage you to take care of yourself, to practice self-care, because you're your mental health is important. And the third part of sleep disorder zone is goes to the mental health of our community, to the community of listeners, to the communities we live in. We've seen what happens when we don't take care of one another and we don't make mental health a priority. And right now, when you say Black Lives Matter, you have to say that Black mental health matters and it has to be made a priority. So there's going to be links to organizations, a list of organizations that I support and that you can support, whether you need resources or you have extra resources and you could support one of these organizations. You could use the links right in your podcast app choice. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show, including you. Who are they?
Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer, and Ashley.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
It's almost Christmas, y'all.
You can tell me the story and
personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors.
You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation, and Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. And you could share right out of your podcast app. You know that, like, if you want to spread the word about the show, or you could retweet some of our tweets or whatever it is. It's a huge way to help the show for free. And what happens next? What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts you're thinking about, like things on your mind, thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about, thoughts, feelings, so anything you're experiencing emotionally that might be coming up for you. They could be about the thoughts, or it could be about something else. It could just be there. Like, they don't have any mystery subscription boxes of feelings, but I feel like I get one unexpectedly. Yeah, I actually feel that way about mail in general anyway. I say, oh boy, what is this thing? I did get, like I said, today I had two things. And I had a letter. Well, let's not talk about that, right? Well, this is things that could keep you awake. It's just, because I get the thing where you get your mail emailed to you before you get it. I always tell people about that, and they say, what's it called? And I say, oof, I thought it was called, like, confirmed delivery or something. And I say, they take a picture of your mail or something. I don't know. And they email it to you. So then you can start overthinking before the mail even gets there. It gives me a head start on delaying opening my mail. It's great. It really has cut down on the time my pre-procrastination time. I can get straight to the procrastination. No more. It really added something to my life. I got to tell you. I don't know if there's a place you could review whatever that service is called. It's free, I think. If I'm paying for it, I didn't even know about it. I'll tell you what, they say, well, we got to, like, some people say stuff about the mail and stuff. I say, well, if you charged me $5, I would definitely pay $5 a month for that. I'm just saying. I mean, I already do pay, you know, when I'm calculating my income. But, you know, like I say, I'm happy to pay $5 a month to send me pictures of my mail so I can start thinking about it before I get it, before it even gets there. So that happened today. Maybe I'll talk to the new listeners and try to get back to that. Because you new listeners, you probably, you're like, what is it going on? Regular listeners, they kind of like me to hear. They love my foibles. Oh, boy. They say, Scoots, keep it human, man. That's what they'll say if there's ever like a coming of age high school movie about the, like in the fictional world of the podcast, not a real one. But they like when I walk off down the field and I say, Coach, I quit. Principal, you could take this, you know, you could take the like this award and pin it on someone else. Because what did I say I was supposed to say? I'm keeping it human. Oh, you're not up for an award, son. Oh. Okay, I guess I'm, oh boy, sorry, I was daydreaming again and walked to the front of the room. Sorry about that. If you're new, okay, so thoughts, it could be feelings, it could be physical sensations, whatever is keeping you awake, I'm here to take your mind off of that and let you fall asleep. Now, if you're new, you may already be questioning it, unless you are down. Are you down with delaying your mail opening? Oh, boy. Let's not. I'm not encouraging it. I do not want to glamorize my behavior, my avoidance behaviors. But I do want to normalize them for you because see, that's what the, one of the important things a podcast serves. Okay, but so thoughts, feelings, physical sensations could be something else keeping you awake, but whatever it is, what I propose to do is create a safe place. I got room here. I'm smoothing it. I'm patting it down. I'm opening it. I got cross breezes. I got other stuff. You know, you want it warm, you want it cold. You like it. You say, Scoots, do you have a lukewarm safe place? And I'd say, sure, are you lukewarm on safe places, or do you want a safe place that's lukewarm? And here's what I've learned through the listening skills of podcasts. I'd say, tell me more about what lukewarm means to you. Do you have a specific number in mind or a feel? And you say, Scoots, no one's ever asked me that before. Thank goodness you're imaginarily here in an imaginary world where you can. And I say, don't worry, yeah, that's what I'm here for. You say, well, how could we possibly, and I say, well, this is a safe place. It's a magical place. So just give me a thumbs up. When this would be, if when the Sleep With Me, you know, whatever, the Sleep With Me theme park opens, I don't think it would be very successful. But who cares? You know, whatever. Well, they say, what did you do with that grant when we pinned that award on you? Well, I reopened an abandoned theme park that then became it never became abandoned, but it did shut back down. We cleaned it up though, and spent most of it on natural organic climate control. We had thermal stuff, we had solar stuff, we had wind based stuff. And one of the key features, if you don't mind me bragging, was the ability to even reach lukewarm temperatures, which someone could determine on their own, if that's what lukewarm meant to them. You know, someone else might have wanted a temp. They say, I like my safe place tepid. I say, no problem. Just give me a thumbs up when we're at the right temperature. And if it changes, we'll be, if you want us to monitor, we could just come and check in every once in a while, or you could give us a buzz. Or you could just call out and say, a little cooler. This is no longer lukewarm. And I'd say, got it. So I'm going to try to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. One way is just to go off topic and keep talking. And what I do is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. So like I'll go off topic, I'll keep talking, I'll jump around. You've already kind of seen that. And if you're new, there's a lot of important things I want you to know. And the first thing is it's okay to come to the show and not like it and not be sure if you like it and be skeptical or have a frowny face. And I'm not like I'm legitimately saying that. because that's a natural way to come to a sleep podcast. You say, I'm skeptical, or I don't know. What are these creaky dulcet tones in my ears? I feel tepid. And I'd say, very good. That's good. That's a good way to approach everything. Or at least that's my, you know, that's the way I do it. So I'm familiar. And yeah, this show is very different. So let me give you some information beyond that your experience with the show is okay. And that is, I'd like to meet you where you are and not try to change your mind, actually. You could change it. You can just see how it goes. And that's the first piece of recommendation that just comes from listeners. Give this show a few tries. And if you kind of decide that now, then it'll be easier to leave later, or you'll just be keep listening. You say, okay, yeah, I'm going to just give this show three tries, and then after that, I'm out. And either you'll be out asleep or you'll be moving on. There's other sleep podcasts, Sleep Whispers, Miette, Sleep Cove, Sleepy, Get Sleepy. There's probably, oh, some Empty Bowl. There's so many more. And there's other, you know, so it's not a big deal for me to win you over. I just hope I can help you. So that's one. And a couple of reasons why the show feels different and people don't necessarily like it right away. One, it's not really a podcast you listen to. As you've already seen on what I was talking about that I already forgot about before, because I was wasn't I talking about something before I started talking about a safe place? And I don't even have any idea. I'm not kidding either. I don't have any idea what that was. I said, well, I'll try to get back to that. Did it have to do with grade school? I don't know. But so, oh, this is a podcast. Obviously, you say, wait a second, he doesn't even remember what he was talking about because he's got so much gobbledygook in his brain. I say, yeah, you got that right. So whatever it is that's keeping you, oh, so, yeah, you don't really listen to me. You only kind of barely, just like I talk about a lot of times, you say, uh-huh, uh-huh, Scoots, oh boy, lukewarm theme park, huh? Uh-huh, that's interesting. Okay, okay. So that's kind of one way to approach it. Don't listen to me. The other thing is I don't really put you to sleep. I more keep you company as you fall asleep. So kind of just see how it goes. I was talking about mail. I just remembered. Okay, so hopefully I'll remember to talk about that more. Avoiding mail. That was one of the sequels to You Got Mail. I said, I don't want mail. It was like, I was supposed to be Billy Crystal's son in the movie. They said, well, that doesn't work. And I said, well, that, like I'm writing it, I'm making it up. It's called I Don't Want Mail. And my dad has become, and my mom, I don't know how, I didn't, believe it or not, I've never seen that movie. And I think Tom Hanks was in it and not Billy Crystal. I had too much Meg Ryan free association going on. What's my favorite Meg Ryan movie? I think it's Presidio, if Meg Ryan's in that movie. I can't be sure of anything. I can't be sure of anything other than I have to get back to these new listeners. So the podcast doesn't really put you to sleep. It's more here while you maybe top gum. That's not a Meg Ryan movie. She's in that film. So, no, I'd say, I don't know. Mark Harmon. Wasn't Mark Harmon in Presidio? I don't know. That's not my favorite Mark Harmon movie, though. It's Summer School. I think I've seen Summer School. I think I've seen Presidio, too. Those are old 80s movies. So don't worry about it. Probably very problematic films. Neither one I've seen. I shouldn't be bringing them up because I don't think I've seen either one in 20 or 30 years. Okay, so sorry about that, kids. This podcast won't really put you to sleep. It keeps you company while you drift off. That's why the shows are about an hour, to give you plenty of time. And then if you can't sleep, I'll be here for you. Or if you wake up, I'm here for you. Like I said at the beginning, I underwhelm. That's what I do. So if you need some underwhelming in the middle of the night or during the day or the whole night because you can't sleep, I'm here. That's my job and that's my honor. Whether you're not listening to me asleep or you're barely listening to me while you're awake or you're actually listening, those of you that actually listen, you know I'm here for you and I care. So that's one thing. Then the other thing that throws new listeners off, way off, even some longtime listeners, which I see haven't even listened to the show for 3 years because we really haven't changed it very much. But so show starts off with a greeting. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends beyond the binary and swamp-based beings in this case because of the type of episode. So that's so you know you're welcome here. Then there's business. And actually, the front business of the show isn't that long. There's business and resources. So that takes up a few minutes. Usually we like talk about Helix, we talk about the Patreon, we talk about resources. Then there's an intro. The intro goes from like 6 or 8 minutes into the show to like 20 or 22 minutes. And that's all ish, somewhere in that range. And that is me. That has nothing to do with business or anything. The only business it is taking your mind off of stuff, putting you to sleep, over-explaining. And then, you know, sometimes stuff comes up like my mail. And the ability technology has given me to pre-procrastinate, not even, yeah, to pre-procrastinate opening my mail. So hopefully I'll get back to that. Don't worry, regular listeners. So that's the intro, but that could still throw new listeners off. I get a lot of strong emails about the intro because I think a lot of people just think it's an ad, which they say, oh, have you I guess I can't ask you if you've listened to it if the purpose is not to listen to it. But the real purpose of the intro, the reason, because I could, and this was proposed to me multiple times in the first few years, just reuse the same intro. And I'd say, no, that's not how brain bots work. They adjust and they adapt. Those things that keep us awake at night, they're constantly evolving, in my opinion. Or at least mine are, alongside technology. They say, you know, that literally happened to me with this mail example. But so the reason the intros are different every time is so you get something different but familiar every time. But also because the regular listeners, they use this as part of their ease into bedtime. Like this Sleep With Me podcast is not a you get into bed, I'm going to count down from 30 and you're going to be asleep. And that may work in other places or with other shows. It doesn't work here. This is more of a companionship show. A companion you just got to barely pay attention to. And so the intro, you could start it like as you're getting ready for bed or as you're in bed or wherever you are. And it gives you some distance from the day and starts to take your mind off of stuff. And then I lose your attention. So that's the intro. Then there's business between the intro and the story. That's the important business. And you can always find in our show notes or on our website because that's like where the meat of the podcast, it's just how the podcast structure works. So there's the business there, then there's our story. Tonight it'll be a wrap-up of our episodically modular series, kind of like a making of a series of Odder Things. And then there's thank yous at the end. So that's the structure of the show. And to kind of go along with the other stuff, the reason I make the show is because I've been there tossing and turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, and I care. I know how it feels in the deep, dark night. And if I can help you, give you some companionship, be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar bud, your boar bestie, your boar bruh, your boar sib, your boar cuz, I don't know, your boar buddy. Did I say boar bud? Yeah, any of those things, and I can help, that's great. It really gives meaning to my life. But more so is the fact that you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place where you can rest. And if you get that rest, if I can provide it or someone else can, that's really a good thing for you to be able to be more rested tomorrow. Because I know how it feels not rested. And I know what is my world's like and what it's like when I encounter other people and try to get stuff done. So if you're rested, the world's going to be a better place. That's true. That is actually true, those things. You deserve a good night's sleep. And the better your life is, the better our world is. The more you can flourish, the more the world can flourish. I mean, if there's simply a philosophy driving that show, that's pretty much it. I mean, mostly I know how it feels, though, because So this male thing, and this is what I'll wrap up with, because like I say, well, I know how it feels. So I have a thing where it emails me my mail before it comes. And there was a strange confluence. This always happens. I had procrastinated on getting two things in my apartment fixed. Well, one thing, then something else broke. Believe it or not, I haven't even told about two other things broke on top of that, but not major things. And I kept procrastinating. And finally, the second thing happened. And I said, oh, I got to get this fixed because this water's coming out of it. So I put in a work order. Literally within, I'm not even kidding, within moments, then I got my mail. And it was an official letter coming from my landlord. Like a picture of my mail coming tomorrow, which was impossible related to the work order. And instead of, you know, being open mind, I said, well, that's not good. You know, oh boy, that's really not good. It's instead of, I just don't have that ability yet. I'm trying to develop to be like, well, it could be anything. And I did say, couldn't it be anything? I said, nope, not for you, buddy. Should have never put that work order in. Talk about the last nail in the old COFF to the I to the, you know, that letter before M. It comes after him, though. Anyway, and I didn't really have the ability. So then I was like, well, and then I said, what time's my, I don't want to open my, I don't want to know what's in that letter. Who knows what it could be? Not 10 into the year, whatever the opposite of that is, even though none of this is true. There's no anything factually say, well, you're pretty quiet. You mind your own business. You probably, your biggest flaw could be not getting stuff fixed on time. And this letter came out before your, I mean, so, and it ended up, it was totally nothing. It was a, like, a, hey, this is a policy about this thing. And it was to all the tenants, all the properties that they own and manage. So, I don't know. That's the kind of person that makes a sleep podcast, I guess is my point. Like, and it's a, if, yeah, I don't know. It was interesting that they say, what, some people, I think there's like adjusted people out there that say, well, yeah, I don't need that mail thing because I love getting mail. And I'd say, really? You don't have multiple, do you have any, do you have multiple stacks of mail or, just one big stack, or do you vacillate between them? Stacks of mail. I get to my mail as soon as I open it up. I say, oh boy, you betcha. Wow. Well, I make sleep podcasts, so that's not what happens for me, but that's great for you. So I'm glad you're here. That's the main message. I really hope I really yearn and strive, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. I appreciate you coming by. And I give the show a few tries, like most listeners say. And here's a couple of ways for you regular listeners I'm able to bring this podcast twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Hey, everybody. This is Drew Scooter here, and I'm going to be tonight we're talking. This is our 14th episode, a look back at the creation of Otter Things. And this could be a good episode to listen to ahead of time, or mainly to sleep through, or to keep you company in the deep, dark night, or to fall back asleep to, or to listen to during the day as a distraction, or to repurpose in some way I'm not even thinking of. What I want to talk about tonight is a couple of things, hopefully. By saying this, hopefully it gives me structure, since these episodes are a little bit less structured, is why Otter Things, and then what worked and what was new and different and what didn't work. And maybe some technology talk, which could be interesting, and like some behind the scenes production talk, and then what inspired it, which some of it's clear, but some of it might not be. And then if we have time, what's next, which is kind of funny because when we hear about what worked and what didn't work, but when I'm recording this, it's like the middle of September 2020, and ideally this episode is coming out like about 2 months, or a little bit more than 2 months after I recorded it, and then I'll start recording, and I already started working this morning on our holiday series, which will probably be a three-episode series. So, okay, what was the first thing I was going to talk about? Oh, why Otter Things? And I feel a little bit forlorn about this because I think, like, I know I talk to a lot of the patrons because I have a little bit easier way to connect with the patrons and get their thoughts on things. And I know a lot of patrons that skip TV episodes also skip to this series, even though, which kind of... I guess I kind of anticipated it, but I said, oh, man, like, I really feel bad. And I understand that people skip the TV show. Really, I guess they're not listening to this, so it doesn't really matter. So the people that are listening to this can more relate to it. But it really made me not sad, like an I statement, and I wish you didn't do that kind of sad. More, I'm aware these are the pitfalls of making a sleep podcast sad, I guess. Because I feel like this ran very far afield of the TV show, and you definitely didn't need to see the streaming show Stranger Things to enjoy this. And again, like a lot of the TV show content I do, I go out of my way to craft it. So in a way that's very sleep-inducing, but I feel like it stands on its own, because it was really only inspired... or a parody, or whatever you want to call it, a satire of that show, or a tribute. And so just a little bit, and it's just a pitfall. Like I said, it's just a reality making a sleep podcast is that, and that's why I do work so hard to keep the content coming in a variety of ways, and keep switching every third episode is a little bit different, and actually it even influenced some future decisions. So I don't know, that just came up for me in the moment, so I wanted to mention that. But the reason why Otter Things, one was it something that came up on an intro, I don't even know when, and I said, okay, that's definitely It's something I would like to see made, even in the greater world, is a mashup of Emmett Otter, like exactly kind of what I made, but in a not sleepy way, like the Muppets and Stranger Things coming together, or whatever, like Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas meets Stranger Things. I really feel like I wanted to see that in the world, or my idea, my tribute to that, I can make something that's inspired by those things in a sleep podcast to have a little bit more leeway. And when those ideas come up, even if it's years ago, much like everything else along the lines of this podcast, like there's ideas that come up for this podcast that I say that's not going to work, or I don't see how I can make that work, or there's ideas I just forget about. But then there's persistent ideas that keep calling to me, and this is just one of those persistent ideas. And saying, what about Otter Things? And I said, well, I don't know how I could figure that out. It was like a lot of times I put it off. But it was there waiting for me to say, come and see it. And then I said, okay, whatever, months ago or even a year ago, I said, okay, like that's the slot in the schedule. Can we make it? Can we make Otter Things? And so I said, okay, then we'll have, well, now once you commit to it, kind of your brain starts to move into the brainstorming, problem solving place. So at least for me, to say, okay, like once it's on the schedule for production, I say, okay, my brain starts working, even though I'm not actively working on it. I was working on finishing up whatever, Get Bezos. And then, let's see. So then the schedule comes for the pre-production, the writing, and, you know, the other reasons why I loved, like, I can still remember whatever year, I don't remember the year Stranger Things first came out, but just the magic. And that magic, even though it's there for those of us that love consuming media, whether, you know, it's music or streaming shows or movies or podcasts, even then, that real magic is so rarely, you know, when you get to experience it, you really do appreciate it. And then they, you know, followed up with a couple seasons. And even the most recent, I don't know when I'm recording this, there might be another season that's come out, but even season 3, I remember texting people and being like, wait a second, it had a different feel. And I just loved that. And I'd have to look at my text. I said, man, this feels like, and I haven't rewatched season 3, so I'm not as fresh on it, but so it feels like they're like taking these things and, you know, putting their own spin on them. So it was like something you could be excited about with your personal community too. So that's another reason why it's like, geez, I just loved what they did. I also like, if you realize the level of difficulty with, these youth-based characters being the leads. I don't know. Did you, like, when you go back and you look at, you think about it, you say, man, how did this really come together? Really was, the sum of the whole is bigger than the sum of the parts, or the sum, you know, whatever. I said, wow, it was so impressive. So that's another reason why. And then I said, I guess it's like a challenge, like very similar to other stuff I'd done where it's like, well, why not then? Like, why can't we mash up and see what happens with if we combine these two ideas? Like, what would happen? I'm trying to think of any other whys. I don't know. I just said, well, that'll be interesting. And it's very, for me, visual, even though, like, when I'm talking about it, it kind of feels more blurry. It's like, okay, this is something I can kind of see. Maybe not as a, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see it with Muppets, but it could be like some other way, but I don't know. But so, I don't know. So those are a couple of reasons why. Is why not, I guess, and to say, okay. And then I just felt like, again, it would offer this challenge. And then this kind of goes to the pitfalls even more of like, okay, we've done Breaking Bad. We've done Game of Thrones. We've done Doctor Who, which all have their different archetypal challenges to get kind of still to this extra hurdle of making it sleepy. And so that kind of was like a challenge for me. I said, wait a second, how much is this going to make people resistant to listening? And I think statistically, I haven't looked at the statistics recently, but I'm pretty sure that they're performing at or above like where they're supposed to be. So they're not, the episodes are definitely not underperforming, and a few of them may have overperformed. And that says a lot for Sleep With Me, because Sleep With Me episodes are very consistent as far as like how many times they get downloaded, how many times they get listened to, the parts of the episodes they listen to. When I say 2% of people skip ahead to the 20 minutes or whatever, that's like, I mean, I could tell you, like, if we looked at 300-400 episodes, it'd be within a very small range of deviation. Or these aren't statistics I actually know off the top of my head, but like how many people drop off, have their sleep timer set for 45 minutes or 60 minutes. And again, that's all just server data, so it's not like your personal device. Or maybe no, and I guess it's like, I don't know, it comes through the anonymized through your podcast app of Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or I think those are the only two that show us kind of that consumption data, which is very important for me because I say, oh, okay, wait a second, do I need to change something or is everything performing how it normally is? And if you want, don't want that stuff, just use an app like Overcast that's like more like, just, you know, and make sure you pay for it. If you're going to, if you want to have more of like a, pay for Overcast or pay for another podcast app that's paid for. Because you can use Overcast for free, but if you pay for it, then you're supporting it. So let's see. So where was I? Okay, so why Outer Things? We covered that. So some of the hurdles. So yeah, making it based on a show that's popular, that people have preconceived notions about or direct experience with is always interesting with Sleep With Me. So when people have direct experience with something, that's a little bit easier because it kind of is an A-B decision. They say, okay, I've watched Game of Thrones. I don't want to listen to a podcast about it. And then they say, I'll listen to the other two episodes that come out every 10 days. Or I watched that show and I'm too much of a fan. I might listen to it during the day or I'm just not going to listen to it. Very, in this sense, a binary decision, yes or no. When people haven't seen something and they have a preconceived notion about it, for our show, I always think about Star Trek The Next Generation, which unfortunately, a much larger, and I guess it shows the great expanse, I mean, multi-generational, it's The Next Generation, it's a multi-generational show, as far as preconceived notions about it, because that's like the only thing that we make that consistently has a big drop-off, and the big drop-off is just because so many people have a preconceived notion about Star Trek. And when I made Doctor Who, I wondered if it would happen with Doctor Who. It didn't. And when we made Strange or Outer Things, it did not have that same effect, meaning that the swath of preconceived notions is just not as wide with those. And it's strange because Star Trek The Next Generation, I don't want to use the word vanilla, but it is probably the most, it's the least, like, it doesn't impact any, like, I have preconceived notions about Doctor Who. So when I say that about Doctor Who, like, I grew up in the 80s, and, like, every once in a while we turn on this, like, PBS, and, like, in the middle of the day, I mean, or, like, in the afternoons, like, and there'd be a Doctor Who episode on, and like I wasn't, you know, able to grasp it. And this isn't a criticism of Doctor Who, just my childhood brain. And I'd say, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to process this. And that impacted my own personal consumption. People say, well, I'm a big Whovian. I'd say, oh no, man, that's not for me. Like that, that mud tunnel or whatever it's traveling, even that makes me, you know, when I see the credits, And I had to, like, have a direct experience with the newer Doctor Who's I had to have a curiosity, first of all, to want to have a direct experience to change my mind. All those things are not really, those are too heavy lifts to ask an audience to do. So it's just always like, when I make something, I say, well, is this going to be like Star Trek? Now, we haven't given up on Star Trek, and we still do kind of about the same 7 or 8 episodes a year. Because one, I really enjoy making it, and two, I think it has like a depth of fandom it doesn't impact the budget. I mean, it's like a different, it just doesn't impact things as much. And I think by reducing it, it's actually like helped the episodes perform better with our overall audience. And it's not just about performance, but it is about, you know, sustaining the show. So yeah, I always have to look at all these kind of things and take them into account. But so I was afraid that there would be a big drop off if we did a Stranger Things recap show, which we ended up, I said, no. And then when I said, okay, well, we'll do Odder Things, will there be a drop off? No, there was not a drop off. So like whatever, some people skipped it. Yeah. And I heard from those people, but the same amount of people that skip every kind of episode. Like, so some people only listen to the random episodes, formerly known as Trending Tuesday episodes. And I don't know if I talk about this a lot, but sometimes everybody hears things with fresh ears. Like, so we put out 3 kinds of shows, and we alternate between those 3 shows constantly. TV recap, random Tuesday-style episode, which could be anything, or personal essay, personal story, made-up story, board games, Ray, Bernie, seminars. And then, so there's that, and then there's a serialized episodically modular series, which this one, Stranger Things. And I guess I didn't quite realize that people, like what I didn't realize is people would get it confused and say, oh, that's just a Stranger Things recap, which it's not, but that's fine. And so there's like the overall Sleep With Me listenership, and there's a probably the majority, I think the regular Sleep With Me listener just listens to the episodes, but those are probably the people that are least engaged with the show. And the people that are most engaged with the show are the people that keep the show going by supporting it. So those people that are most engaged, they probably pick and choose their episodes. So some people are very specific, and some people actually, and I guess they don't realize this. It's like, even if you only listen to one episode over and over and over again, over a few weeks to a month to a year, like your consumption kind of counts on my end as far as like trying to plan and stuff, like, you know, as much as somebody that just listens to every episode. It's like the new episodes in the end support the ability. Well, I guess that's changing slowly. Anyway, that's not important. But so what was my point in there? Oh, so that I guess I talked that out. It's like I really wanted to make this, and I was hoping the audience would respond, and they did, in a regular way, for Sleep With Me. So that's one thing. So that's why, then we go, okay, what worked and what didn't work? So it's kind of talking about what didn't work, which kind of lead into the last thing that's concerning for me. I wouldn't say it didn't work, but it was definitely concerning for me. It was like, so writing the show and doing it as a reinvention of someone else's show, it kind of felt like a little bit like it was less, it was a different kind of work. I wouldn't say it's less work, but in some sense, I feel like it gave me this advantage that I feel like is very dangerous. I say, that's not what I'm in for. Like, it'll be a while. I mean, we probably will return to Odder Things, I would hope, just because I love the characters now. But it'll be a while, because even having some sort of basic loose outline gives me like an advantage, which I guess in this sense paid off, because I felt like the shows were even more able to be puzzle boxes to put you to sleep. But as a creator, I just wonder if I was getting my muscles, like, it's like, oh, you're just doing that one kind of exercise. I don't know if that's really helping you. I don't know. That might not make sense to everybody, but it's like, oh, like, I wasn't having to break the story from the beginning. And it does remind me of, like, when we return to season twos or season threes, that there is, it is a little bit, I'm able to be more creative on the story side and make it more sleepy on the plot side because I know the characters and how they're going to behave. And I can, then I can create situations where they'll behave or create obstacles that where they'll behave in the way that I can predict or that I say, well, I know how Vaughn is going to react, or I can picture Vaughn in my head James Cashfenny or Richard Warren Sears, where if it's a first season, like Dr. Triangle and Isosceles, even by the end of that season, I said, I don't even know how well, like, it's still like, you probably heard about it in my recap of that season of like, and just getting to know the characters after spending like 8 to 12 episodes with them, again, because of the hurried writing process of making constant, content? So, I don't know. That's just another thing that I say, oh, okay, well, I don't want to go back to basic. Like, I won't be, like, the next few series, except for this holiday series, because it's going to be a soap opera, so it's based on an archetypal thing. But after that, for 2021, it'll be interesting, because 2021, now I have competing ideas, which would both be season two. Well, one would be a season two, and one would be in a world of another show, I guess. So we'll see for 2021. Don't ask, because I don't have any idea. I mean, probably it's not. It's probably going to be the one that's in a world from another series that we did a while ago. But we'll see. So I don't know. That's just one thing I said. Well, I'm not so comfortable with this because I don't know. I don't want to say it. Just it doesn't. It feels like it was less difficult. But I mean, it gave me more leeway. But like I said, I don't know how many people heard, but we did for $10 and $20 patrons. We did a series with 12 30-minute episodes that came out as 6-hour-long episodes of the making of Odder Things. So I talked a lot about it in there. I don't know, that was more about the writing and stuff like that. So it was just like, my surprise at like, when I was planning it, I've been planning down, like, because now we put out about 100 or 90, 88 to 100 episodes a year, new episodes. It's like, okay, well, I'm gonna try to do series, that are 8 to 10 episodes, maybe, or 12 on the large size, because like each type of series we do would be like 30, 60, 90. Yeah. So we do 30 scripted series a year, 30 potpourri series a year, and 30 TV recap episodes a year. I mean, it's different because it's on a rotating basis, so it doesn't work out that way, but I do have to plan ahead. So it's like planning like that, and we're always mixing them up. So it's like 8, 16, 24, or 9, 18, whatever. I don't know. So, but then I also have to look at the calendar and not have any gaps in there. So I was trying to figure out with Odder Things, I'm like, okay, this is getting, it's not going to get all the way to Thanksgiving. So what are we going to do in between the conclusion of Odder Things and Thanksgiving? But I said, okay, well, we'll figure that out. It'll be okay. And then then it kept getting stretched out to where I was like, holy cow, this is going to actually be like 13 episodes. I can't believe it. And I think that was because, like I said, like because I knew the characters and I had a better idea of them because they were already inspired, that I said, okay, I have a little bit better idea of how they're going to behave so I can create things. So I don't know. It's just something I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that again anytime soon. because I really just want to get out of shape of like making stuff. And I don't think I will, because the next thing, next, I mean, the holiday series will be one thing. That's just a kind of more fun 3 episodes, I think. I haven't looked at the calendar. And then by the time, right now we're in September. Yeah, by the time you hear this, I'll probably have this 2021 series, 1 or 2 episodes recorded, I hope. So that's what maybe didn't work or didn't, I mean, other things that didn't work. So technology-wise, this was interesting. So I watched episodes of Stranger Things a bunch of times, right, to try to get everything and get an idea and just kind of see how they did stuff. And one of the things is that what's his name on the show? Oh, Hopper. He's Chief Hopper, right? He's the chief of police. In Otter Things, they don't have a police department. They have a community resource department. It's just a different, I mean, they're mammals. They're not humans. And they kind of have more of a restorative justice model. And again, I don't want to hear like, this is just about the fictional world they live in. I mean, it is a metaphor, but it's not like the metaphor that some people are jumping to. It was just like they're animals that live in a swamp. I was saying, what kind of governance system would animals that live in a swamp have? And I thought it would be less punitive, much more cooperative. And it talked about that a lot in the beginnings of the series, the first few episodes. So that meant that Leon was the head of community resources, which is a very similar role. Like, but you say, well, maybe he had like some social work background as well, and some sort of consensus building. I don't know. Maybe you could assume that now. But the language is still carried forward. So it was like Chief Hopper, and then I was like Chief Bull when I first started making it. I said, wait a second, that's not his role, though. He's not chief. Also, I don't like that word personally. It's just a word I feel like that could be like disrespectful to some listeners and cultures. And I said, wait a second, I like to try to get that word out of my descriptive language, especially for something fictional. And even from a technical standpoint, you say, well, it's not accurate. You can have a head of community resources, but by using that terminology. But so what was interesting is when I first started making it, like ideally when I'm recording, it's been getting to the point where I have more and more of the episode written, handwritten. And it might not be handwritten, what is that called, sequentially. So I may have to jump around my notebook and stuff. And then I'm kind of like, you know, using that, like creating a new draft live while I'm recording it based on the draft I have in front of me. But sometimes that can mean immersing myself in that world and being there and kind of like, I guess maybe this is a flow state. I don't know that stuff that well. But like the danger of falling into kind of a flow state or a deep, a place of like living in your imagination is like, then I'm hearing the language from the show sometimes. And I was using that word and I said, I don't like that. And how am I going to fix that? Like, because they said, wait a second, the first 2 or 3 episodes, I used it more than I was comfortable with. And actually, there's this piece of technology, this newer piece of technology called Descript, which really enabled me to go back and find all the usages of that, which in the past would have been impossible, or for older episodes, this stuff just is impossible, at least cost-effective and time-effective-wise. But because I caught it during the production process, I said, okay, let's see if we can just get this word out of the podcast as much as possible, because I'm not comfortable with it and I don't like it. And my tech side said, okay, well, we could try this tool out. And it's like just a new kind of podcast audio editing like machine transcription, not the transcriptions we use for our main show. Those are done by Leah, our the transcriptionist that works with the show. But so I was able to like find all that and listen to it and kind of take it out. And I don't know. So that's like a time that was cool that, what do you call it? Technology enabled me to do that. I don't know. So that was something I was happy about. And hopefully that's a tool like we can use in different ways. It's still not my main audio. They call it a DAW, digital audio workstation. Like I use a different digital like that. And then the editors, like I'm only doing a final edit and a mix and editing. Like I'm not doing the edits of the recordings that Carl and Chris are. What up, Carl and Chris? So I'm not doing the first edit, which is kind of the most time, right, Chris, Carl, whoever's listening, most time consuming and monotonous one. So where was I? Holy moly. Totally lost as usual. So I don't know. I got to use that and play around with it, and it's interesting. And while it won't change the regular workflow for the show, I was trying to do some mix some Patreon episodes on there, but I don't have a lot of time to train myself either. Okay, so why other things? What worked? I guess we kind of talked about what was I talking about? Descript. Okay, so we used Descript. Oh, that was interesting. What worked? I don't know what worked with this series. I mean, one, it was like something I really wanted to do. And I really thought it'd be interesting to see what it would be like, how it would transfer over to a world with things. I felt like I really enjoyed it. I felt like there was a lot of love between the characters. And I felt like we had a lot of opportunities to really change, to make it different. Because one, we've just learned that trimming down, and again, I have the same problem with the holiday series I'm about to do. It's like having a smaller cast is always a necessity because you say, okay, well, how many stories can we handle here on a sleep podcast? And maybe that's probably why this show ended up being 13 episodes because there was like A, B, and C and even D stories to kind of follow and tie up, which was a good thing in this case. But again, it's like, okay, so the first person we didn't use was Jonathan. Jonathan and Nancy kind of became one character, which in some sense I liked because then the Jonathan and Nancy character was able to kind of take the best things from them and I guess in some sense and become Dari. And Dari kind of was one of the few, well, I guess a lot of the characters, because it's a sleep podcast, don't have gigantic flaws. But I was able to put them, like, keep it as a family. And then I was able to give Mike on the show, Emma, to have Tefe, who was very much like Steve, as a brother, which I said that creates a nicer dynamic. Though on the show, Mike and Nancy's relationship's a pretty good dynamic, too. I don't know. I just felt like Emma having to be a sibling with a smooth otter named Tefe was like, I don't know. It just was a dynamic I enjoyed. And thinking about their whole lives together is something, I don't know. I just found it stimulating. So that did work out. And then just kind of like keeping it simple. Okay, so then Francis is their mom. We did have a visit from Lenny, their biological dad. But other than that, like focusing on that threesome of Francis, Dari, and Willow, even though Willow was gone. And then Bull kind of running the community resource department and having that just be having Bull carry most of that role throughout the series without any other players. Then having the friendships of Mike, Lucas, and Dustin as Emma, Vaughn, and LJ, or Elijah. That felt like that worked, and it was fun. And then Billy, I mean, I had to name someone Max Modine. I think that came up in the intro before, too. It's like... anytime I can say, oh yeah, Maximum Modine. That was like an intro I did once. I don't remember what it was about, but, that's how I like my Modine at maximum. So that was fun. And then the idea of Billy as a platypus, that was a pretty early idea, probably before I started writing. And I guess we didn't get to play that up as much as I would have liked, because I don't know, it just time-wise and reality-wise. And then early on, it was fun to kind of figure out with the first three episodes of Stranger Things, like, okay, there's a lot of intensity there that we won't have in a sleep podcast. How do we replicate the stakes in a way that's more sleepy and the consequences and or the fake consequences that ends up... And so that was where Willow's music career came and these fake albums. So that was real creatively, those kind of challenges are really fun to say, okay, how are we going to make this? And then it kind of got more and more convoluted, like because it, like it, nothing could be straightforward with sleep with me. And again, I wanted this to just be inspired, not a recreation of anything. So I said, okay, like, how are we going to do everything with, Billy and her powers, and where does that come from, and why? And there ended up being some open mysteries, which I like, because I have a better idea of the world they're in. Of like, oh, okay, if we're going to return to this world, there's some other things, like the road in between the swamp and the place beyond the swamp. These ideas that they struggle with of like, are humans real or are humans just a rumor? Are we descended from humans? Is that what Dr. Max is really worried about? Military-industrial ideas. So those are all fun to play with. And then it was like, okay, like the hardest part was like, I guess it was trying to figure out, okay, we know what happens in Stranger Things. And we know that there's kind of these two different forces at work in that show. So we have Dr. Max Modine, who's one force. And then we had the uncontrolled force, and I don't know where I came up with the idea for a goose bunny, maybe from Goose Chases, I don't know. And that kind of felt like the most, it gets the hardest thing, because you say, okay, now you're in you are an archetypal nighttime thing, so really having to be very careful, but at the same time have something that can create a story that's moving. So it's like, how do I create something? And even the idea, I said, wait a second, this is risky. Having the idea of a bunny with goose heads, to me, I say, I don't know if I like that idea. But I said, okay, well, we don't have to focus on exactly what it would look like, right? And then, like, I didn't want to go too deep into the mice and men trope. I just wanted to touch up against it because I don't want, like, in my belief system about the story, it's not a one-for-one analogy. That the bunny is like Lenny, but I just wanted to touch up against that for anybody that was listening to say, okay, it softens it too. And it's just a reality. The bunny, what can I tell you without ruining everything? But the bunny's not, the bunny's not partially operating on instinct. I guess Lenny was too. So the bunny, and again, the bunny's intention is not to take people from our world into another world, like what happened with Babs, but it's to, the bunny has its own intention, and the bunny's not a villain rewriting, seeing itself as a hero. The bunny's just doing, the bunny's operating more on instinctual a bass role, and it's like a caretaker. It was accidental, the irony that, like, it was a bunny that had to touch up against Lenny to kind of say, okay, this is like, there's an innocence here. That's the word I was looking for. But not pure innocence, or whatever. So, I don't know. That was interesting. I don't know. That was fun. That was the biggest challenge. And then saying, okay, and then how do we make it our own with Billy's powers? I mean, the songs came up early. I don't know if that was like even before I started writing that she was going to have song-based powers, and then we could use the hits from 1991. But that made it fun. But also that it wasn't a, like, again, this is just inspired. So it's like, okay, for her, what can I tell you? Whatever was going on with Dr. Max, Billy was going to a, like, maybe this takes place in what would be known as Florida. I don't know. And so maybe Billy was going to a different place in Florida for some reason. And she was seeing big billboards and stuff for stuff. And then somewhere along there, she came over this, her powers, like, connected another rift in the world, or helped open up a rift between our world and another world. And that kind of that part was inspired by Jeff Vandermeer's, like, Annihilation. And, I mean, I guess the other books in the series, the Southern Reach Trilogy. And I don't know if that was what inspired Stranger Things, but for me, it was like, I guess it is different. Well, no, because it is organic, kind of. But it was like, oh, how can I make this my own, and what is interesting to me? And that whole idea, and I know, again, it's different. I think the movie's very different, but how does that idea, one of the main ideas in at least the first, well, it gets called back, I don't know, the idea of towers and organic beings and stuff like that is a big in that book. And strange, like, I don't know, like strange connections between worlds and, or whatever. So for me, that kind of fit together with, like, I don't know what we were trying to do. And then again, I was like, okay, what about this? Like, they had, like, how do I create it as a world? I don't know. So that part is, like, definitely more in a sleep podcast realm. It wouldn't work, I don't think, in outside of a sleep podcast. I mean, if you want to see someone make it work, probably most people, I read this stuff at bedtime, but don't read Annihilation at bedtime. But you might want to read it if you like that kind of sci-fi with a level of intensity. But it definitely, I mean, it just, like, that book is still with me. I think I probably read it, I don't even know how long ago. I mean, not that long ago, a couple of year or a year or two ago. And just some of that concepts, even I am still trying to grasp. And the book had just so many mysteries, at least for me. I'm sure someone with, like, a double the gray matter that's using 5% of their gray matter, they probably absorbed it in a different way. I don't know. So that was like, so those are some influences, I guess. And then of course, like Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, it rewatched that. And I talk about this a lot in the Behind the Otter Things, but like watching that with fresh eyes, not at the holidays. Now, when you're hearing this, it'll be the holidays. I strongly encourage you watching it. But watching it with fresh eyes, and it was my daughter's first time seeing it, which I was surprised about, was like the level of dignity and the circumstances of the characters, that had a profound impact. I mean, now they don't necessarily live in a swamp, but they live in like a forest or off a stream near river bottom. But I don't know, the idea of the interconnectedness of the community, even though their community was much more consumer-based, I mean, it had conflicts between consumers and capitalism and stuff. But I don't know, I mean, it has this deep, like, nearly subtextual social message and a message about, just like Stranger Things, in the end, what does family really mean? and what does real love look like? And I think both series covered that in a brilliant way. And, you know, what does that really mean? And what does it mean that families deal with these imperfections or imperfect circumstances? And how do we live with dignity and hope, at least, yeah, I guess both the shows. And I mean, I guess like when you start to look at it, if you overlay Emmett and his ma and Will and Joyce and Jonathan, you say, wow, there's some real similarities. So I don't know. I mean, it's like nearly subversive when you watch, if you really pay attention and you watch. And it's a beautiful movie, and it's special. And it's brief. It's also very, the beginning is like so slow, which was like a Sleep With Me episode two. I said, whoa, the pacing of this, though it does, the pacing picks up where they really just spend some time. So I don't know. That was definitely inspiration, but also a re-inspiration by like sitting down and watching it right in the middle of making this. It really helped me say, okay, let's like, this is what it's really all about. And I mean, my show, I think ours was more about friendship and community and love than about family. Not to tell you the message, but, and more, I don't know, it just was like, I mean, we got to explore a lot of interesting thematic things towards the end, like Hopper's journey. Or Bull's journey was different than Hopper's journey and the consequences of his actions. And then Lenny and Dari and Francis. But really, in the end, it was about, I mean, Emma was our real lead in the heart of the show. And I don't know. I mean, I think the series kind of like you could make the argument that Mike is the center of Stranger Things, but Emma was our narrator, which is a lot different. Maybe, yeah, I mean, Mike's the person that, you know, like, and I don't know. I get to really like pay attention to a lot of things I loved about Stranger Things, like Lucas. And this goes back to just things that characters I love on other series, so like Data or Worf or Ser Jorah or Tyrion, of like these characters. Like Lucas is to me very much like, I guess he's like, he's a much better version than, no offense to Ser Jorah on Game of Thrones, but they both, oh, or Bronn, I guess Lucas is like, has the best qualities from both those characters without some of the non-positive qualities of those characters. Lucas, in some sense, was like this heroic character because he's the one keeping the eye on, like, he was keeping things moving forward. Now, I guess Mike, you could say, was like, oh, well, I have this, you know, like we gotta use our friend and this new resource. But Lucas was like, no, we have to find Will and help Will. And then in the end, everything ends up coming together. But there was that. I don't know. Yeah. So I don't know. Overall, it was really fun making this. It was definitely a new challenge. And it was different than anything we've ever made. And we probably will return to season two, but it will be a while. I don't know if it'll be in 2021. Maybe it'll be in 2022. And then, yeah, let me just take a few minutes. So we're working on our holiday series. That is going to be a soap opera with different characters, but it will be like As North Pole Turns, but it'll take place in a different part of the North Pole. So that'll be interesting. I haven't started, like I said, I just started today with kind of like the basic brainstorming, but in reality, I got to record it in like 10 days or 2 weeks. So we'll see how that turns out. Then after that, yeah, I have two things. Originally, I was like, okay, what are we going to make next? And then the idea came and it was like, okay, this is the next idea, right? Is something I've been waiting on, and the inspiration struck, and I said, okay, that will be finally we'll be able to make this because now we have the concept for it. So there was that. But then as I've been working on this series, D&D has played a big part, like Bards and Big Bunnies and D&D played a big part in that. And then in my personal life, just during this time of Zoom and connecting at a distance, D&D has played a big role in my life because I've been playing it with my brother and his wife and his son and my daughter and her mom. And I've been the DM, which was a new role for me to learn. And I don't know, I've been kind of immersed in D&D, Dungeons and Dragons. That's what D&D is. And it's a role-playing game. And so then I said, wait a second, this gave me new ideas for another concept. And like even like what I really love sometimes in making this podcast is that we don't do quite the nesting doll idea, but like the idea of stories within stories within stories, I think that makes things really sleepy. And I said, wait a second, we could do like a there's a kind of podcast called, I don't know what they're called, Live Play or something, like Adventure Zone's a pretty big, like, or Harmontown used to play at the end of their shows. I don't know what it's called, Live Play or something, where you listen, people are recording their D&D sessions. And I said, wait a second, what if that's the conceit just on the basic level, and then the module is where our story level. So then we have, so this is conceptually where I'm probably going. And I said, okay, well, the module doesn't, it's not going to be Bards and Big Bunnies. I said, oh, it could be based on, in that world where we already have had a story. And I said, wow, this really offers a lot of interesting, I don't know. So we'll see. So, I mean, we won't know that for a few more months. But yeah, that's it. That's a little look back at Otter Things. I'm glad you're here. And I really hope, here, let me tuck in. How about that? Yeah. Oh, you want to move that? No problem. And I just love Emma so much. I loved working with Emma and feeling her competence and confidence. So thank you, Emma Otter, and everyone out there. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody who reviewed the podcast recently. Look at this graph from New Zealand. It said, so good. Totally recommend. Takes a few episodes to get into it, then works like a charm. Puzzling Joe said, one of the best. First time I've written a review on Apple Podcasts, but my dad and I love this podcast. Scooter's incoherent humor is just what we need to take our mind off of things. As someone who struggled with racing, an overreactive mind puts my thoughts in my place. Keep going. Ken M says, my go-to entertaining and puts me to sleep, LOL. Mama Allie Bear says, can't say enough, works for me. Thanks for the podcast. I use it two ways some nights. I need to calm my brain, so I listen to it at the beginning of the night, and then I use it when I wake up at 3 to 5 a.m. It's calming. I feel like he's right there with me, reassuring, and most of the time I fall asleep like during the intro. Thank you. Snore Store from South Africa says, sleeping success. At first, I thought I would not be able to fall asleep. I felt like I would have to play it repeatedly, but I did drift to sleep. I don't even remember what the podcast was about or if it ended. When I woke up hours later and decided I needed more sleep, I played the same podcast and still woke up puzzled as to what he said. Extremely effective. Heck Yee from Unicorns, my dude from Canada, says, haha, actually sleeping. Christy with the 3Ys 831 says, love everything about it. Improved sleep and never got to the end of the episode, drift off before reaching the end. And love that it supports members for our black community. SSNWHNN. SJ says, I fell right to sleep. Good for everybody. Heart Meglet 82 says, I always fall asleep. Thanks for supporting the black members of our community. Helps me sleep. Generally, people that side with love, I support. Megan Reed says, kind of your mind. I started listening a few days ago during my first year as a teacher. Days are long and stressful. Even though I love working with children, you know, it's not easy. And at night, I wouldn't be able to, a few years ago during my first year as a teacher, I was like, wow, this is your first year as a teacher? Holy cow. But I know there's some first year teachers listening even now, and I really want to send my lulls your way. But yeah, being a teacher involves a lot of, can involve a lot of overthinking. It took a few tries to get a hang of listening, and a few weeks I was falling asleep. Paris says, helps me go to sleep. Only thing that works. They're from Canada. Yeah, I don't like the night, and sleep with me helps me feel safe. The second I hear Scooter's voice, I feel relaxed. Boxers in Boston says, thanks for the hard work. I love everything about this. And Kelly says, about to go to sleep. I'm not even sure how I fell asleep before this podcast. Usually listen to 25 minutes. Definitely give it a couple of listens, though. So that's everybody who reviewed the show recently. Oh, I could check the other apps. But yeah, Sleep With Me is a free way to support the show. Is just spread the word. Or let other people know about it. It's a huge help. We're able to be a free podcast because people that support our sponsors or support us on Patreon. And we grow as a podcast because of you and people like you just spreading the word. So if you let one person know about the podcast, show them how to listen. Be a gigantic help. I'd appreciate it. Thanks so much and good night. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody.